Good morning, family. If you would please open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, the 21st chapter, John 21. Friday, June 5th, 1998, a somber Bob Stump, representative from Arizona and chairman of the House of Representatives Veteran Affairs Committee, addressed the chamber with the sad news that legendary entertainer Bob Hope had died. Thanks to C-SPAN, that announcement was carried live and picked up by news organizations all over the world. There was only one hitch. Bob Hope was very much alive, having breakfast in his home in California, and it would be another 5 years before he passed away. What had happened was that a technical glitch had placed his draft obituary on the Associated Press website. A colleague of Representative Stump's saw the obit, thought it was the real thing, and gave it to Representative Stump to read before Congress. Without verifying the information, a well-intentioned but soon-to-be very embarrassed Mr. Stump made that televised announcement. When calls of condolences began pouring into the Hope residence, Mr. Hope himself was said to have quipped, "Well, they were wrong, weren't they?" People have had to contend with rumors, gossip, misinformation, disinformation, and the very annoying and tired phrase, fake news, since the dawn of humanity. I find it kind of fascinating that the Gospel of John, of all places, has to address a rumor about the beloved disciple that had been circulating among Christians for decades. It's kind of interesting to me that a gospel kind of wraps up trying to nip a rumor in the bud a little too late. After Christ's resurrection, but before his ascension into heaven, Jesus was walking along the shores of the Sea of Galilee with Peter at his side. Following close behind them was the individual whom the Gospel of John only identifies as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Beginning in verse 20, we read, "Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, 'Lord, who's going to betray you?' When Peter saw him, he asked, 'Lord, what about him?' Jesus answered, 'If I want him to remain alive until I return, what's that to you? You must follow me.' Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say he would not die. He only said, 'If I want him to remain alive until I return, what's that to you?'" The young congregation of Thessalonica was put into turmoil by a letter from Paul that said the day of the Lord had already come, which meant they missed it. The only problem was that Paul hadn't sent them any such letter. 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning in verse 1, "Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to Him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. My email was hacked." Now, centuries before that, the Jewish governor of the province of Judah, Nehemiah, was plagued by false reports concerning him that were spread in hopes of stopping the effort to rebuild Jerusalem. Nehemiah 6, beginning in verse 5, "Sanballat's servant," Sanballat was an opponent of Nehemiah's, "Sanballat's servant came with an open letter in his hand, and this is what it said: 'There is a rumor among the surrounding nations, and Geshem tells me it's true, that you and the Jews are planning to rebel, and that is why you're rebuilding the wall. According to his reports, you plan to be their king. He also reports that you have appointed prophets in Jerusalem to proclaim about you, "Look, there is a king in Judah." You can be very sure that this report will get back to the king. So I suggest that you come and talk it over with me. I replied, that's Nehemiah, of course, "There is no truth in any part of your story. You're making the whole thing up." They were just trying to intimidate us, imagining they could discourage us and stop the work. So I continued to work with even greater determination. So these three examples illustrate for us that whether out of innocent misunderstanding, as in the Gospel of John's case, or a malicious intent, as in Nehemiah's case, the spreading of rumors, even among God's people, has been around a long, long time. Probably as long as there's been at least two people on the planet. Now, the reason I say two people is because one of the most compelling features of a rumor is being able to share that juicy tidbit with someone else. I mean, what good is a rumor if you can't tell anyone? Proverbs 26, verse 22, "The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts." Now, if that passage sounds incredibly like the scripture reading from Proverbs 18 and 8, that's because it is. Clearly, the compiler of Proverbs thought it was an awkward truth about rumors that we needed to hear more than once. Now, back in Deuteronomy 13, God had something to say to the Israelites about how to respond to any rumor that came their way. Deuteronomy 13, beginning in verse 12. "If you hear it said about one of the towns the Lord your God is giving you to live in, that wicked men have risen among you and have led the people of their town astray, saying, 'Let us go and worship other gods, gods you have not known,' then you must inquire, probe, and investigate thoroughly." Oh my. Have you heard the news? I have a friend who heard it from his cousin, whose cousin heard it from his mailman, that the city of Bethel has begun worshiping idols. I think the religious authorities ought to go down there and whack them now. Well, that's exactly how God said not to respond to such a rumor. Instead of spreading it, instead of running off half-cocked, ready to pummel the town, God said to get the facts. Actually, to emphasize how important it was to get the truth before they did anything else, God used three synonyms to stress the need to establish the facts of the matter. He said, inquire. He said, probe. He said, investigate thoroughly. Now, that can't be done by relying on second-hand information. You've got to eliminate all the middlemen. Your friend, your friend's cousin, and your friend's middleman or mailman, and you've got to go straight to the source. Only when you've gone to the source and have thoroughly investigated a matter and are certain that you have all the relevant facts, should you act. And never before that. Now, what Deuteronomy 13 says about rumors involving a town, Deuteronomy 17, 2 through 4, says about rumors involving individuals. Don't tweet them to all your friends. I'm pretty sure Moses used the Hebrew word for tweet there. Don't post it on Panay Sefer. That's biblical Hebrew for Facebook. Wink, wink. Don't text it to anyone. Instead, they were told again to investigate thoroughly, which can only be done through first-hand sources not second or third hand. In Deuteronomy 19, Israel's judges were cautioned not to accept the testimony of just one witness, but again to turn over every rock and look behind every tree to get at the truth. Beginning in verse 15, one witness is not enough to convict a man accused of any crime or offense he may have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If a malicious witness takes the stand to accuse a man of a crime, the two men involved in the dispute must stand in the presence of the Lord before the priests and the judges who are in office at the time. The judges must make a thorough investigation. And if the witness proves to be a liar, giving false testimony about his brother, then do to him as he intended to do to his brother. You must purge the evil from among you. Over in Exodus 23, verse 1, God commanded the Israelites, "You shall not spread a false report." Now I realize that you and I live under the new covenant rather than the law of Moses. But I don't think that what God wants His children to do when we hear or read a rumor has changed. For example, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly." In 1 Timothy 5:13, it describes certain people who have too much time on their hands. And they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also gossips and busybodies saying things they ought not to. Nothing's changed. Now, as I was reading in Deuteronomy this week about what God said to do when facing rumors, I got to thinking that wrestling with rumors is particularly challenging in our day and age. Because not only do these choice morsels, as Scripture put it, still taste good to our worldly side, but in the so-called information age, we can receive and send rumors at the touch of a button. And once it's out there, it stays out there, taking on a life of their own. For those of you who think once you delete something off Facebook, it's gone for good, you are so naive. It isn't. Why do you think they keep everything on the cloud? It's out there. I haven't had a Facebook in years, but you can still find it. I deleted it. It's still out there. Got tired of people I never knew trying to contact me and say, "Hey, remember when we were in high school?" It's like, "No, I don't. Go away." Frankly, making matters worse, critical thinking skills and equipping people with the tools and the know-how to carefully and objectively seek the truth are at a low ebb in our society. "Well, I Googled it, so it must be true." More and more people seem unable to distinguish the difference between facts, opinions, speculation, and pure fiction. So, where do we fit in with all of this? Well, I submit to you that part of the Christian's witness, part of being a light to the world in this growing sea of misinformation, is for us, individually and collectively, to be beacons of integrity. To be godly examples by inquiring and probing and thoroughly investigating before accepting anything as true, including this sermon. And before passing anything on to anyone else, be sure it's true. But that's not enough either. We need to understand, gossip can be true. What? I thought gossip was just telling folks things that ain't so. No. Gossip can be true. The problem is, what makes this truth gossip is you're telling it to someone when it's not their business. We have to understand that too. It's not enough to establish what we're hearing as true or false, even if true, before we pass it on to someone. We need to honestly ask, is it their business? Because if it isn't their business, it's none of their business. And you have no business telling them. That makes sense? Appreciate you listening, family. It's a difficult thing we wrestle with. It's just too easy these days to let it come in one ear and out the sin button before we investigate and probe and inquire. Let's each look at ourselves and our habits and our practices, see if we're part of the problem or we're being light to the world. We come to a time in our assembly that we set aside, not really connected to the sermon per se, but we set aside a time of sharing. We come here each kind of in a different place in our spiritual walk. Some may be on, kind of a cloud nine part of their spiritual journey. Other people are struggling, stumbling, tripping, wrestling with things. We need to know we're not alone. It's okay to share praises and encourage the family that way. It's okay to ask for prayer. In a moment, we're going to stand and sing. One of our shepherds, Roger, will be up here and he'll visit with you and pray with you and share whatever you want shared with the congregation. If that's just a little too much for you, that's okay. A couple of our other shepherds, Derek and John, when we get up to sing, are going to head out these doors. They're going to go all the way down the hallway and hook left and then right into a small office. There are signs along the way that say Shepherd's Prayer Room. And they'll meet down there privately with whoever just wants some personal, private prayer time with a couple of the shepherds. Whatever your need is, we invite you to make it known as we stand and as we sing.
Angry words, oh, let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. May the heart's best impulse ever check them ere they soil the limb. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the Father's blessed command. Love one another, thus saith the Savior. Children, obey the blessed command. Love one another, thus saith the Savior.